Good evening, everyone. So good to see everyone that's able to make it out this evening. It's good to have visitors with us. We pray that, as Brother Code said, you'll be blessed for coming to be with us this evening, not because you were here, but to be with Christians and worshiping God is it benefits us. And we pray that you will have a safe journey as you continue on to your destination. So on Sunday evenings, we've been doing a series on loving the Lord with all your heart. And as you see up here, this is the fifth lesson, a heart surrendered to God. I plan on doing one more sermon on this next Sunday evening, and then we'll move on to something else. I'll take our text from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. If you take nothing else away from this lesson, remember, when we have our heart surrendered to God, we need to follow the example of Christ, who gave up everything, who left heaven, who left the presence of his Father, and humbled himself and came down to be with us to save us. We sing the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy praise and power. Let thy blessing fall on me." We sing this song, and are we just saying the words, or do we really mean it? Do we really surrender everything that we have to God? Just to recap the other lessons, in the first one, we looked at the nature of our heart, the different functions of the heart, what it does. We looked in lesson two from Romans chapter one, God gave them up. When God gave them up and man followed his heart to do what he wanted to do, it was a downward spiral. In chapter 1 of Romans, he said at least three different times, and God gave them over. And when we see that when we are left to our own devices, it's going to be something that ends up in destruction. We saw in lesson 3 that we need transformation and renewal. We need to transform our heart. The heart is the gateway to our mind, to our life. We need to be careful what we let into our heart. We need to keep that gate open to let in the good things. We need to close that gate to keep those bad things out. Too many times people have a heart that's like a revolving door. Whatever comes along, if it's good, they take it in. If it's bad, they take it in. That's not good. We looked at last week a heart of flesh and a heart of stone. And God would talk, we have example after example in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where God would talk about you stiff-necked people, you hard-hearted people. And we saw that we need to keep our heart soft and pliable so that it can be touched. Because if our heart cannot be touched by God's word, we have no hope. And we live in a world that is a very callousing world, that it just hardens our heart unless we submit to God. So we're looking at being surrendered to God, surrendering our heart to him. Surrender, submission. These concepts are unpopular to most people. Many who understand these ideas are afraid of them because they involve denial of myself. Why? I don't want to stop doing what I want to do. By and large, We're selfish people. We want to please ourselves. The greatest struggle people have with God is accepting and obeying His command to die to self and to surrender to Him wholeheartedly. And a lot of people will surrender to Him some of their life, part of their life, most of their life, but not all of their life. And again, it goes back to where we started. The greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love one's neighbor as ourself. Everything revolves around that commandment. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament. If we don't love God first and love Him the most, we've given ourselves over to Satan. Many have tried for years to provide a cure for people's mental and emotional problems through treatments that do what? That empower the self. These treatments don't take into consideration that the human need for total surrender to God, the Creator, is what's going to heal people. So man says, when someone has a problem, you need to empower yourself. You need to make yourself stronger. God says you need to surrender yourself. You need to give yourself over to Him. In the church, some people have adopted an extreme view of God's grace that produces selfish believers. They seek instant gratification. Many of these do not appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made for them or the lifestyle of surrender to God that He set as a pattern for us. Back to Philippians chapter 2. He gave up everything. They don't believe they need to give up anything to God. They think they should just receive from Him without fulfilling any responsibility on His part. They see everything coming from God to me, and I don't have to give God anything unless maybe I want to, but they just have it. They don't understand it. And again, this is why there are so many problems in people's lives and in the church. And God requires continuous surrender. It's not just when we're baptized. It's an ongoing lifestyle of surrender. That's the only way we can experience this transformation of the heart and receive the blessings from God. It's through daily surrender. Jesus said in John chapter 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That grain of wheat that falls to the ground, it's got to die. It's got to die before life can come out of that and create a plant. We have to die to Christ. We have to surrender to Christ completely before Christ can live in us. The act of giving oneself up or giving up something that is part of herself is a concept found in the heart of God. The law of surrender applies to God as well as man, because to sacrifice oneself for the sake of others is a big part of nature. Surrender reflects the deepest part of Him. Christ was never higher than when He surrendered Himself to become the lowest for us. And again, we live in a society where we want to be lifted up. We want all the recognition. We want all the glory. We want praise. We're never going to have that position that God intended us to have until we surrender everything to Him. Christ made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He emptied Himself. We've got to learn to empty ourselves and surrender all to God. Many people believe in God and worship Him, but they don't commit to Him beyond attending going on Sunday. They don't want to follow the path of surrender that Christ made because it involves giving up self and making sacrifices to God. People don't want to give up their sinful practices, their lifestyle. They don't want to share in the sufferings of Christ. So yesterday at the wedding, and again, I think we all felt honored to be there, but I saw some people I hadn't seen in a while and was just thinking about and talking to them about what they're doing. And they'd been doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. And people get so caught up in being busy, they don't have time for God. They don't have time for God. Well, what do you want me to give up? I can't give up this. I can't give up that. We've got to understand that when we become a Christian, Christ comes first. God comes first. Then all of these other things fall into place. But if we try to do all of these other things and make them our priority, God's going to be left out. Our life isn't going to be what it should be. We aren't truly going to be happy because we're chasing after things of the world. And we have not, it goes back to not surrendering our heart to God. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. So do we willingly surrender or do we unwillingly surrender? You think about a war breaks out somewhere and there's a draft and men are called up to serve. Now, a man could go and join the military and serve, but he's doing it unwillingly because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. He can be a soldier every day and fight in the military, but he's only doing it because he doesn't want to go to jail. He is surrendering, but unwillingly. He's going through the motions of what they want him to do, but it's not willingly surrendering. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to willingly surrender unto him. The surrendered heart yields its rights. One definition of surrender is to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. Again, you think of a husband and a wife, and the husband tells the wife, I want you to do this. And she's, well, I'll do it, but I don't want to. And goes kicking and screaming, doing what the husband tells her to do. Is that a good situation? No. That's why Christ told the wife to submit to the husband to love his wife, and when the husband loves his wife, the wife is going to submit willingly. It's going to work as God wants it to. Another definition of surrender is to give up completely or to agree to forego, especially in favor of another. This definition seems to correspond more closely to our act of surrender to God. Surrender involves giving up the demands of the self and sin in favor of what God wants for us. Giving up our own rights and desires in favor of what would be best for those whom we are called to serve in his name. Do I know what's best for me? No. I might think I know what's best. And I look back over the years and things that I thought were important years ago, they're just silly things. They were a waste of time. God knows what's best for us. He's spelled it out, what he wants us to be doing, what he wants us to be thinking, to helping people, how we get along with other people. But we fight that and resist it because we don't want to surrender ourselves to God. We don't want to surrender our heart. And when we surrender our rights and needs to God, we will receive back much more than we yield to him. God is, he's just waiting to bless us, maybe not in the way that we think that we ought to be blessed. men think in terms of money and stuff and position, blessings like that. Sometimes we, most of us know, the less we have, the better off we are. And this family that we have, how could we be blessed more than with this family that we have? And we know that whatever we need, God is going to provide for us because we are His children. Again, He might provide in a different way than we are looking for. He might provide at a different time, but we know it's going to work out for good. We just put our faith and trust in God. We surrender everything to Him, and God will take care of us. This is a sign of spiritual maturity. God's principles of blessings will be effective in our life as we surrender our heart, our will, our rights. Many people want to automatically fix everything that's wrong in their life by using verses out of the Bible, kind of like a magic formula, hocus pocus. And you hear these little phrases that are said, and they think they're being the Christian that God wants them to be. God's power doesn't work that way. There are a number of people in the church who are frustrated because they think, you know, just saying a few phrases about faith and grace and belief and love and all of this, that covers so much, and they haven't surrendered themselves to do what God wants them to do every day, a daily surrender. It's like the immature attitude of a spoiled child who refuses to assume responsibility for his actions, and he keeps on expecting his father, when he says, "Give me this," his father to give it to him. That's immaturity. The surrendered heart freely obeys and yields by choice. By choice. When we fully surrender self, our ongoing submission to God will not seem offensive to us. "God, you want me to do this? Okay, I'll do it." You know, I often repeat, when we obey God, we do it all the way, right away, and in a happy way. And if we don't do that, our obedience is not going to be pleasing to Him. It's going to be forced. We will serve God joyfully, out of love, deep conviction, and without complaint. What are some attitudes that can hinder surrender? Surrender to God brings peace, joy, purpose in our life. We cannot follow Christ and do His will if we have a rebellious, disobedient heart that seeks to please self. The only way to put off the old man, Ephesians 4:22, and to put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, is by crucifying the sinful nature. And again, there are many ways to illustrate that. And just like taking off an old coat, an old dirty coat, and casting it aside and putting on a new coat. Something different. We take that old man, we cast that old man aside, that man that we buried, and then we clothe ourselves in the things that God wants us to clothe. All those put on verses, put on this, put on that. It begins with the self. And then we go back to human reasoning, and it is just the opposite of what the Bible says. We are eternal beings, and when we're born again, we become His children and begin the process of being conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We want, when people see us, we want them to see Jesus Christ. Not that we are boasting that, but we should be a reflection of Christ living in us. We're transformed into the likeness of the one, think about this, Jesus Christ, we're transformed into the likeness of the one who is the most beautiful, holy, pure person who ever lived. Why wouldn't we want to be like that? But young people, what do they hear? They hear some sports figure held up, or this person or that person, or somebody from Hollywood. You need to be like this person. We need to be like Christ. And when we look at ourselves in Him, we know who we really are. Any other image than that is a distortion of true humanity as God intended it to be. Now, there are different attitudes out there in the world that affect our heart and our ability to surrender all to God. One of those is accept yourself just as you are. Just accept yourself. This idea encourages people to accept everything about themselves, the good, the bad, without feeling a need to change, so that they adopt this perspective that says, this is just who I am. I know I shouldn't do this, but this is just who I am. God's going to love me. God's going to accept me. Well, God tells us to repent. He wants us to humble ourselves. You stop and think again back to our verse, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. Christ was willing to give up the glory of heaven, take on the nature of man, come to this earth, willing to put up with everything that he did here, being hated by men, men following him around to put him to death, and finally they did. And he did all of that not because of anything that he did, but because of what I did. And then I have the attitude, well, I'm not going to give up anything. This is just who I am. This is just who I am. And again, if you don't take anything else from this lesson, remember the example of how Christ humbled himself. Christ surrendered all. If he can do it, he set the example for us to do it. There's another attitude in the world, express yourself. This goes with the ego at the center of life, the self. This approach often feeds the sickness it's trying to cure. Many of the problems that human beings face are consequences of expressing their own selfishness to others. The self imposes its needs, whether good or bad. This is the opposite of self-control. The Bible teaches self-control. All the do not this and do this, we control ourselves. We bring our bodies into subjection. That goes against the attitude of what people are exposed to in the world. Express yourself. When the needs of a person's self run counter to the will of God, that individual will reveal his rebellion as he expresses himself. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if God says, do this, and somebody says, I don't want to do this, I'm going to do that, we see rebellion, because they haven't surrendered their heart to God. We live in a society that generally accepts practices such as abortion, homosexuality, cohabitation, as rights related to freedom of expression. Well, I'm free to express myself. I can dress up like a woman. I can do this. I can do that. I can do whatever I want to in the name of diversity. Yet, if I express my opinion against these practices, I'm not allowed to express myself. Does that make sense? You see, the arguments they use don't hold up. Surrender leads to deliverance. Major flaw in these concepts is their claim that the answer to people's problems is found in the self. You have a problem with yourself, it lies within yourself. The true solution to these problems is the transformation of the heart. The true cure is to change our heart from a selfish heart to a heart that is surrendered to God, the crucified self. Being that new man, Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And when we continually surrender to God, He continually works in us and through us. Is it always easy? No. But we all know the more we do it, the easier it gets. Things that were temptations to us years ago are not temptations now because we have matured, we have grown. The more we surrender to God, the stronger we become. Is Satan going to give up? No, we know he's going to keep coming after us. But surrender to God leads to deliverance. Christ said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So the issue is not really whether we will surrender ourselves. The issue is, who are we going to surrender ourselves to? We're going to surrender ourselves either to God or to Satan. Surrendering our heart to God allows the transformation that we need. When we yield to God, we're changed into genuine people. Our heart becomes transparent. We stop hiding from him, just like Adam and Eve tried to do when they sinned back in the garden. The more we surrender to God and die to self, the more God will fill his presence with us so we can become a holy dwelling place for him to live. We say we want more of God in us. Well, it's like if you have a glass full of water that's full and you try to put more water in, it ain't going to go in there. It's just going to spill out. We have to empty ourselves so that God, that we can fill ourselves with God. Paul wrote, yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And you think about Paul and all the things that he gave up. And again, when we looked at this morning, he did things by his conscience, but he was wrong. He changed. And when he changed, you just think of all those ties he cut with all of those people and the position that he gave up. And you think about how his family would have looked at him. And we know how the other Jews looked at him. They considered him a turncoat. They followed him around like they followed Christ around. They wanted to put him to death. And what did he say about all of that? He said all those things that he had, he counted as loss. It was just rubbish. It was nothing. Nothing. What he gave up was nothing compared to what he was going to gain from Christ. Without spiritual sacrifice, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, there can be no power. We need to expect to suffer some as we are surrendering our heart to God. What are some consequences of refusing to surrender to God? The person who refuses to surrender to God never advances in the process of the heart transformation, or he stalls somewhere in the process. He becomes conformed to self. He gets stuck. If we refuse to surrender, we don't move forward. The person who refuses to surrender to God suffers an inability to believe in his promises. We want to walk by sight and not by faith. When we surrender our heart to God, I don't have to worry what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't have to worry what's going to happen Tuesday. I don't have to worry what's going to happen a year from now. Because when I surrender my heart to God, I know God is going to take care of me. And we may be in the worst situation that there is. We may even lose our life. But God is going to take care of me. And even if I have to suffer and I'm put to death, when I breathe my last breath, what's going to happen? The angels are going to escort me into paradise. How can we not want that? How can we get so caught up in the things of the world where we get busy with this and busy with that we don't want to surrender our heart to God, and we miss the most important thing about being here and preparing for eternity? The person that refuses to surrender to God cannot carry out his true purposes in life. He's unable to hear what the Lord is saying to him. He's distracted by his interests. Again, we have our mindset, I want to do this in this life, I want to achieve this, I want to get to this point. And how many of those want to's include God? The person who refuses to surrender to God often experiences friction in his relationships. There's a rub. He's not died to himself and controlled the sinful nature. You put two people together and a problem arises and they're at each other like we say cats and dogs. Instead of, well, now I may misunderstood you. Help me understand what you were trying to say. Now, if I'm wrong, I want you to point it out to me. It's a whole different paradigm, a whole different way of looking at things. When we surrender to God, we don't have as much friction in our life. God will sometimes use bad circumstances in people's lives to cause them to seek him, to surrender to his will so that they may receive his blessings. For instance, though God does not cause sickness, he may use sickness to draw someone's attention to him. I heard a man say one time, you know, God took my job from me, but that doesn't bother me. He took this job away from me, but he gave me a better one. And sometimes God will take something away from us to show us that he has something better to give to us. But we've got to have our heart surrendered fully to him. A couple of qualities of a surrendered heart. The person with a surrendered heart is quick to respond to God and to answer him. Here am I, God, send me. We've surrendered our heart. He does not doubt God or stubbornly resist him because his internal struggle with self is diminished and his obedience is usually immediate. The person who has a surrendered heart always says yes to what God asks. This response leads him to be in God's perfect will and receive his blessings without restrictions. God wants us to be obedient children. The person with a surrendered heart yields to change. He is a willing spirit that allows God's word to continually transform his heart, leading him to reflect Christ's nature and to help establish God's kingdom here on earth. Our heart, you think about what's going on in the world, and I think about back in the 70s, and I didn't have a care in the world. Back in the 80s, I wouldn't call them cares, but that's when I started getting some more responsibilities and family and children and things. And fast forward to 2024, in the world, it's like we're living in a blender. Things are just so crazy, upside down. But when we surrender to Christ and he transforms our life by these things that take place, we are better able to handle any day that comes along. The person with a surrendered heart worships God as an act of submission and love, not out of a sense of obligation. He knows the reality of David's prayer. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, this should be one of the places that we desire to be at most in the assembly with other saints, where we can honor and worship our Heavenly Father. It's something that we should always look forward to. And if we don't look forward to worshiping God here, what makes us think that we are going to enjoy worshiping God for time without end in heaven? We are the most blessed people that we can be if we surrender all to God. And when we surrender all to God, we do not have a thing to worry about, and God will take care of us. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
All to Jesus.